Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. Paranormal Podcast with your host, Jen and Joe.
What's up, my brother?
Oh, nothing.
How are you?
I'm good.
Guess what happened this week?
Lotto?
No, I didn't win the lottery. Okay. I'm still here, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'd be in a yacht in the Caribbean.
Oh.
I heard whistling again in my house.
Did you?
Yep, 2 days ago.
What room?
Dining room.
Okay. Is that different than the other room, or is that...
No, well, I heard it in the basement like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Mm-hmm. And then I heard it once with mom sitting there. She heard it too. And then 2 days ago, I heard the whistling again. So I've been hearing whistling in my house. It's crazy. But anyways.
You need to set up a recorder.
You'd think I would think of that.
Today is a special day in the studio.
I'm so excited.
We have some guests here. We have Harold and Butch from Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Jen. Thanks for having us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Definitely. Always good to see smiling faces. You know, every time you guys come in the studio.
Always smiling.
Every time you guys come in the studio, it just makes me smile.
It's been, I think, been a year or so since the last time we were here.
This is the first time for me.
That's right. You couldn't make it the first one. Yeah.
We'll be gentle on you. It's your first time.
Anyways, very glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. So, gentlemen, what's new and what's exciting?
It has been a really interesting and exciting year for the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society. First off, a big celebration coming up here the 1st of September. Togues is... Togues, together with Butch and I, as the founders, have been 18 years together.
Wow.
Investigating the paranormal.
Yeah, it's been a long and happy. I don't know how to put this, but it's been a long ride so far, and a long one to go.
I think this has been we've had the time of our lives. All the places that we've investigated, our road trips. It's just been a world of fun. I couldn't picture myself investigating the paranormal without my buddy Butch. So many things have taken place, good, bad, and indifferent. And all the investigations and all the people we met, all the things we've done together. It's been an exciting 18 years. And but as everybody knows, Butch and I are getting a little bit older. So
what?
I'm just hoping that we can do this for a few more years together. So. Anyways, 18 years for the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society.
That's amazing. Congratulations. And you know what? It's been a year for Joe and I since we started the show. And, you know, if it wasn't for the show, we wouldn't have met you great people and new friends. And we're just looking forward to the future because there's greater things to come.
I remember the day we met. Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society had a vendor's table at the Collingwood Arts Center their convention, and you guys were sitting right next to us, and Butch and I were walking up that long hallway, and Butch and I kept looking at each other. We weren't used to doing interviews and things so much at that time, but I turned around to Butch and said, this may be our opportunity. These two guys look kind of legit, don't they?
No, so, we look like criminals.
I went over
America's
and,
Most Wanted.
Butch and I came over to your table and introduced ourselves to you, and you put us on the air, so... just one of those things. Like I see all these amazing things that are taking place in the last couple of years with the Toledo Ghost Hunters. And one of them is getting to meet you guys and getting to come out here on a Saturday morning and do a program together with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost like it's meant to be. Everything falls in line where it should be. And, you know, people are put, I think, this is my feeling, people are put in your life for a reason. You know, it's like just whether it's friendship or mutual love of paranormal or whatever it is.
You know, there's certain people that you meet, you know, over the years and in the process of investigations and the different things that you do. Things have changed so much now with social media and Facebook and everything being out there. And, you know, getting to meet you guys, you know, what was really cool about that is this past year we've also had an opportunity to work with you and with you and Jen. We did Tony Packles where... Butch had captured some what I consider pretty strong personal experiences that, you know, border on the paranormal. And, you know, Butch and I have, you know, over the 18 years, we haven't always agreed on everything. What's paranormal,
what's not.
No.
That's why you work together, so that you have the two minds.
Working with you guys this past year, Tony Packles, Jim Beard, you know, the manager over there, invited us in, and you walked away with some things that you feel were paranormal. Butch walked away with some things that he feels were paranormal. And Jen and I even had an experience down in the basement of the cellar where we both, along with Michelle, simultaneously thought we heard of the voice of a child. With all the contamination and the machinery running, you know, Butch and I still to this day have different feelings on it. When, you know, when we tell this story, do we say it was paranormal? Butch swears that his experience was paranormal. I on the other hand, somewhat skeptical, and I'm afraid to put out there that, you know, I thought I heard a voice of a child. Two other people at the same time did. Did my recorder capture it? No, not that I can openly and honestly say this is the voice of a child. Butch went back for lunch. It's been an hour and a half at Packles afterwards, and this is the thing that people don't realize doing an investigation. He went back there, believe it or not, and ate a couple hot dogs, was staring at the chandelier to see if it would move, and it never moved. So, and you it told in one of your previous programs what you had captured there and what you felt was paranormal. So I guess the bottom line is we met at a convention. We became friends. Here we are again today, and in this past year, of all the great things that we've all done this year, and we got to share an investigation together and a big one. Tony Packles is huge.
That was amazing. So,
and, you know, I've always said I'll never, I shouldn't say never, but I won't say definite, this place is haunted. But there's 90% chance that, or how do I say it, there's stuff that we can't explain that we captured that is not of this earth, you know? So is it haunted, you know?
Well, we weren't the only ones that say it's haunted.
Yeah.
I mean, we were asked to come in there for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's employees. Right from the manager on down, we're experiencing what they felt was paranormal activity. You know, we came in as a group, we were with Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo that night. So we had three independent groups go in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reason we did that is we didn't want to make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. We wanted to confirm if there was a haunting or if there wasn't. Was this paranormal? Mm-hmm. You know, I personally walked away with, I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of questions with very little answers.
Yeah.
Anyways, a great investigation, a great time together.
Everybody captured something.
Yeah. Or experienced something, a personal experience.
All three independent groups, it felt that they captured something independently.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you guys letting us come in and investigate with you because, you know, it's exciting for us because we're not in a group, but, you know, for you guys to... I kind of felt honored that you guys would ask us to go. But I learned so much because I was just watching the way that you guys... you know, run your investigation from, you know, your pre-meeting to your setup to your method of, okay, you know, you're organized. You weren't all over the place. Like some people we've been
very professional.
But yeah, so very, we really appreciate it.
Give yourself some credit. You know, Butch and I, when we were doing Paco's, along with Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo, we all felt that we needed another outside source, an independent, a third person to break what we would call any paranormal ties. It wasn't that we were just friends and we asked you to come along with us. Yeah. We chose you for a reason. We chose two very good people that are very much involved in the paranormal with a lot of knowledge. Mm-hmm. So you were handpicked by us to do that investigation with us. It wasn't any other fly-by-night group coming through.
We
enjoyed that night very immensely. It was lengthy and it's right down, you know, we enjoyed that. Like I said, very immensely that night, there was a lot involved, a lot of setup, a lot of tear down. You know, you guys jumped in, you helped with us. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot to doing an investigation. And, you know, it's not just going in and, you know, asking EVPs and this and that. You know, there's a lot more to it than, you know, that meets the eye. And doing an investigation.
Yeah, and I'm really mad that I didn't get to have a hot dog before we went. But maybe I'm glad you guys are glad that I did.
Listen, I
you'd never, hear my stomach grumbling all night long.
I never miss out on opportunity. The interview was obviously a bit later in the evening, like at 10 or something, because it didn't close to 11. Well, I made sure I was there at 10. I had my sampler platter before.
Yeah.
Nothing was getting investigated until I had my dinner.
But I did go back afterwards, and... I had a hot dog. It was delicious.
Good for you.
Yeah, they are quite delicious.
Oh, my gosh. So
I guess to wrap this whole part of the conversation up, what an interesting year.
Yeah.
What a lot of great things that are going on. What a lot of crazy things and opportunities for all of us involved. And Tony Packles was just one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of neat things going on for 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really excited because the year's half over, but we're coming into our season. It's almost fall, so you know what happens in fall.
Yeah, cold weather.
Oh, hush.
Yeah, besides that, things are starting to pick up, you know, on the other side.
Yeah, I've noticed, too, just as of late, like I've had more activity in my house. I don't know if it's because Joe and I have been to, you know, like the 1 month we went to four different investigations, ghost hunts, whatever you want to call them, in a row, 4 weekends in a row. And I'm telling you, I was just beyond drained. I had no energy. I had nothing. I had nothing to give. I got up, went to work, and that was all I could function with. And I don't know if I haven't had an attachment, have had what. I don't know. It was really difficult for me. I was really depressed, which I already suffer from slight depression, but I had super anxiety, and I had gone a long time without anxiety. I even went on the mountain. I drove on a mountain, and I didn't have anxiety. So, you know, it just feels like, I don't know what, if there's something in the air. Is it the eclipse? Was it the full moon? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, on a serious note, Jen, you and I are pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. Before we sat down for this recording, you had mentioned to me that you may have had an attachment. On a serious note,
I wasn't myself. You know what I mean?
No, you know, I don't want to get into it big time. So we could spend, you know, a whole day talking about attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Attachments are very real. Mm-hmm. Over the years, Butch and I doing investigations, and briefly, maybe, you know, 15 seconds, Butch, maybe we did an investigation on Richards Road years ago, and we captured some pretty good EVPs, and we had some pretty good video as well of some documented paranormal activity. Why don't you tell us about, tell our fans, when we first arrived on Richard Road, what happened to you? That was one of the very first times that we believed that something was attached to you.
I walked in, we were setting up, we were getting ready to set up for the investigation, and I got hit. I got drained.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't hardly move. It was hard to describe. It was I was emotionally just drained.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, Michelle, our tranquility specialist, it was her first night there. She actually cleansed me. When she got there, she cleansed me, and it took everything away. I mean, it just...
Well, you instantly felt better.
I felt better, went on with the investigation, and we got some fabulous EVPs from that investigation and everything else.
Mm.
But when I went in there, I mean, it hit me bad. I mean, just like you were saying, I mean, I felt depressed. It just took me down. I mean, I couldn't have went on.
Yeah, having some dark thoughts and really bad nightmares.
Did these happen? Was this happening before you began to investigate, or did you feel this way afterwards?
It was after we did the last one at the prison. We went to West Virginia Penitentiary. And it took about 4 or 5 days after that. And then I was like, woo, down the slope. You know, I get up, go to work. I'm just like, I sent Joe a text. Or one day I said, I'm pissed. He's like, why? I said, I don't know why.
That's odd.
It's not PMS. Well,
here's the thing, Jen. I don't think it's as uncommon as paranormal investigators think. I mean, we've witnessed this hundreds of times. You know, energy is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get into all that as well. But energy can be absorbed. It's absorbed into the walls. It can be absorbed into, you know, just hundreds of different materials. And when you come into something, some people are more sensitive. They call them beacons, lighthouses, psychics, mediums.
Empaths.
There's a lot of different names for it. It may be something that might have something to do with this. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm obviously no expert in this field. I also had witnessed an attachment to myself one time at a local cemetery. I don't want to give out any names of the cemetery, but my vehicle was affected. Not just me. My vehicle was affected. The lights started to go on and off. The radio was going on and off. The emergency flashers. I even so much as pulled the key out of the ignition and set it on the hood of the truck. I went back, and the activity, the vehicle was definitely affected.
Yeah.
Once this investigation was over, I got back in my vehicle, was pulling out of the location, got about a quarter mile down the road. The car began to act up even more severely. I had turned the car around, pulled back to the location, and explained to this entity, you can't go with me. You can't stay with me. Here's the mistake I think I made. Us Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunter Society, never fail. Mm-hmm. Never fail. And I don't, it doesn't matter to me what your religion or what your spiritual beliefs are, but we never fail to have an opening prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. That covers these things. And you know, you could pray to St. Michael or to God, whoever your God is. Those things help. It's been proven over time, at least with our group, it's helped immensely.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes something like that happened to Butch is going to capture you before the investigation begins, before you begin your process, before you have your opening prayers. And that's why Michelle at that time took Butch off to the side. I mean, there's no way Butch could have done that investigation. It's like sending him into the lions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody broke down, oppressed, with many things going on, is in no shape to do an investigation. He could very easily be attacked or attached to. Mm-hmm. But we never fail to do these opening prayers. Anytime during an investigation, if you're beginning to feel lightheaded, nausea, any of those side effects, oppressed, depressed, angry, we've watched tons of ghost shows where you've eyewitnessed this happen firsthand. During the process of an investigation, something happens to one of the investigators. So we monitor each other very closely. We take breaks every 30 to 45 minutes, 5 minutes, to make sure we all have our bearings. More importantly, at the end of an investigation, we all gather back around, and we invite the clients to do so as well, or anybody that may be with us to be involved in this prayer circle. And Michelle does a great job as a tranquility specialist. She's our house cleanser as well. We're putting a kit together, and I don't want to get sidetracked for people that need help with attachments and people that need help with their homes. We're going to be offering it come September. It's just a little package with some directions and a short video
that
people can help themselves. I think it's important.
Yeah.
We always close our investigation with another prayer session. That being said, sometimes you're going to be driving home and you don't feel right. Or in the days to follow, you don't feel right. And that goes all back to all religions. You know, the five stages of possession. Well, you know, demonic stuff is obviously a lot more rare than what we think, but it's still there. But energy itself is positive and energy is negative. Mm-hmm. And maybe, Jen, something of a negative energy, maybe it attached to you. And these things are real. It begins with not feeling right, feeling out of sorts. And, you know, but it can go further than that. It can begin oppression and then maybe depression and, you know. And then you go home, and now there's an infestation in the house, and then maybe there's an apparition, and all the way down to maybe possession. I mean, I'm no expert in this field, but I've firsthand witnessed a lot of stages of what we call attachments. Do I think that could have happened to you? Absolutely. I mean, you're full of knowledge. I think with me and my group, it begins with opening prayers, and what you believe in your heart becomes the truth, no matter who your God is. It's like house blessings. A Native American shaman once told me, you don't need me to bless your house, bless the home yourself. Believe it in your heart, believe it to be the truth. You bless these objects in front of you, and believe it or not, your house is blessed, and you did it yourself. Over the years, I believe that more and more. When I was a young investigator, you know, I thought I needed a shaman. I thought I needed a priest. And in some cases, you might very well do that. The only thing is, be conscious of it. Be aware of it. Believe that it's out there, because it is. And then protect yourself at all costs. I remember the night that this happened to Butch. Michelle immediately went into her, I call it the magic bag, but she has, I'm sure she has a very much better name for it.
Yeah.
But she got out some sage and some sweet grass and some Christian things, maybe some holy water, and she began to bless Butch. And, you know, whether I believe in this or not, I mean, I witnessed it. And my founder, Butch, who I worked with, as we just said, for 18 years, And I think I know him better as an investigator than anybody. Mm-hmm. I could see the difference. I could see it working. Well, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
I mean, I witnessed it work on my closest member of the group.
Yeah.
Does it work? It does. I wouldn't mess around with it, Jen. I would, mm-hmm. I would, you know, look at this directly and go back after it and do all the things you can.
Yeah.
But I believe you. The attachments are very real. It's happened to me. It's happened to Butch. And I think what happens sometimes, Jen, excuse me, is when we least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so busy investigating, so busy going after that EVP, so busy running down this dark hallway to capture that shadow that well, guess what? They may have a different reason for all this.
Right.
They may be looking at us much differently than what we're looking. You know, and maybe they got you a little bit.
And, you know, when you were saying this, it made me think that I know of three of them that we were at, and I'm not going to mention which ones because the different groups were there. And but they didn't do an opening or closing prayer. I know whenever I leave the Gill House, I always look back. When I walk out the back door, I'm like, you know, everybody that's here has to stay here, you know. Mm-hmm. But we didn't do that at those other ones.
No, we didn't.
No. So that's really important to remember to do that stuff.
Well, I think you know, if this is your belief system and this works for you, then by all means, let's implement it.
It's
a part of who we are. And I would think in a situation like that, as this investigation breaks up, whomever you're with, as you begin to walk back to your car, I mean, you know, leave your equipment, sit there for a minute. Don't put it in the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, leave whatever else you have just outside the car and say a short prayer. And, you know, and you can't go with me. You can't attach to me. Your energy must stay here. I think it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if the group didn't do it, you surely still can do it.
And normally before I go into my house after we've gone ghost hunting, I always say, okay, you can't come in my house. But, you know, if it's attached to me, I have to go in my house. You know what I mean? Like,
so well, you can also cleanse and bless yourself.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the Native Americans did it all the time with the conch shells and the sage going and smoking. They engulfed themselves in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It'll work. You know, I think whatever you believe in your heart, it'll work. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it could be, I mean, listen, you've heard of investigators that went into a dark place and, geez, it's a year or two. It affects their marriage. It affects their finances. Yeah. It affects their relationships, it affects everything, and it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things, I guess, don't happen overnight.
And when the investigators go into these places, they're calling for the spirits to come to them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you know.
I think the best way to do this, the best way to do it is we make a practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
We do it, you know, daily. We do it, you know, every investigation. It's a part of our life. It's a part of who we are. And there's nothing wrong with having, you know, a protection shield up around you. You know, days before an investigation.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of cases where sometimes you know, our case manager, Becky, has done the interview. She's gotten all the notes. She's done the research. She's got everything together. Then she sets up a time that we're going to do the investigation. And I'll be darned that whatever's in that location knows we're coming.
Yes.
I know sounds goofy. I know it sounds way out there.
I mean, they
know more than we do.
Things begin to happen. We were at a case a couple of weeks ago where 2 hours before we arrived at the location, the owner of this building turned to me and he almost looked like he was in shock. He said, I almost canceled.
Mm.
Well, why? What's the matter?
Mm-hmm.
20 feet of shelving on that wall that's been there for years. All come crashing down. This thing knows you were coming.
Yeah.
And I kind of chuckled it off. I mean, I didn't want to spook him and say, well, there's some truth that I said, well, I don't think one has anything to do with the other, but we'll sure investigate this
one. Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But he was concerned, and he definitely felt that whatever was in that building knew we were coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the shelves were in it was on cement wall, and they were tap-conned in, and them things are stronger than, you know, they're steel and they shouldn't bend at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the ghost had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, nice.
Anyways, attachments, very real, Jen. You know, I'll pray for you as well. I think that's important.
Thank you. I need
it. And I think if you feel this and you obviously are aware of it, you have enough knowledge to do. And
Listen. I learned it in the class, in your class.
Yeah, yeah, sure did.
Ghost hunting 101.
And I have some stuff at home if you don't have enough sage or sweetgrass. Bassett's. I don't want to give out a store because we don't, but Bassett's is the place to, wonderful herbs.
Uh-huh.
And just about anything you can get from A to Z to do cleansings and blessings, you can find right there at a local Bassett store. So you know, we get calls all the time. What do we do?
Yeah.
Would you come over and cleanse my house? And my answer to it is, well, you know, we will, but I feel as though you can do it yourself.
Okay.
And I always turn them on to Bassett's and tell them what mixtures and stuff that they can use that works best. So, and it seems to help. So.
Okay.
Great. Appreciate that.
What else we got, Jen?
All right. So, that was just, something that was weighing on my mind, and I was like, I have to go to the experts.
Well, I'm no expert in that field, although I think time has helped Butch and I. We've been around so long, but we've witnessed these things. Mm-hmm. We've saw other people deal with them, and they've worked, and we've just been stealing everybody else's thunder, and it works for us.
Yeah, that's the important thing. It works for you.
Yeah. So what's going on in the group? Do you guys have some members that are leaving you, sadly?
Yeah, as we said earlier, it's been a terrific year. It's been an exciting year. 2017 is just, so many things have changed and so many new things have landed on our doorstep, for us to get into. And some not so good. Jake Steiger, you've worked with him as well, is my nephew, and he's been with me since, he's probably 11 or 12 years old, and his mom wouldn't let him do investigations, but he was very involved in what we were doing. Obviously, even if you don't, I'm instructing classes at Owens now, and Jake is in charge of all the PowerPoint presentations, and he's our equipment guy, he's our tech guy, and he's just multiple things. He's graduated from St. Francis High School, and he's moving on to college now, so we're going to lose him.
Aww.
He was also director of our youth education, so
we
had an outlet through our emails and Facebook as well, where young people that were, witnessing or experiencing things that could be paranormal, right down to young people that just wanted to go out and kind of raise hell in cemeteries.
Yeah.
Well, we put Jake in charge of that. He seems to work better with the young people. I mean, obviously, Butch and I are a couple of old old folks here to young people. So when you get a 16 or 17 or 15-year-old, they don't relate as well to us as they would to Jake. And over the past 5 years especially, he has done a phenomenal job for us here at Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunters. And I'm going to miss him as my nephew.
Mm-hmm.
But Dogs is going to suffer a little bit with the loss of Jake Steiger. He's just been that valuable to us. So not sure what we're going to do with that position yet, because he just did multiple things, right down to running 200 to 300 feet of cable when asked.
Yeah,
that was one of the main things. That was,
as we get older, right?
Yeah, Jake can crawl around. And,
So we now that we're talking about this, not only the loss of Jake is going to be huge, and it's not a forever loss, though.
No,
I mean he's obviously going to be back and forth from school, and he'll be, Jake is going to eventually. I'm hoping that eventually would take over the Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunters, and it'll be his group, and that way Butch and I can just go on investigations. We don't have to do any research. We don't have to do any case manager stuff. We don't have to do interviews. More importantly, we don't have to do analyzing, which takes hours and hours and hours. Butch and I are just going to show up at the location.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to raise a lot of hell, right? We're going to take our own recorders home with us, right? And anyways, Jake is going to be a huge loss. And speaking of that, research person, we all know how important that is.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I've been looking for the right person for the past 6 months, Butch and I have. And we've interviewed a couple of people. Research is huge. I think that's one of the most important positions within any group. So not only are we looking for somebody to kind of replace Jake at a part-time, we're looking for somebody maybe that would be interested in research, and you can contact us via Facebook. And we'll talk about that later, all the different ways to contact us. But we're also looking for somebody that would be interested in research, and that's a tough, tough job.
And if somebody gets a hold of you, you're definitely, and we were talking about it before we turned on the recorder, but you're not just going to grab the first person to come along. I mean, you guys are going to do some research on them. So if somebody contacts you guys and they don't hear from you in a while, you're just doing research, and you're going to pick the right person. You're not just going to grab the first person to come along.
It's important that you said that. Butch and I, along with Becky and Michelle as well, the core members, have spent a lot of time in putting together the best group that we could of like-minded people that can offer some strengths to this group that can make the Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society a better group. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, and Michelle, you know, her house blessings and house cleansing and her knowledge of protection and prayers, you know, is unfounded. Becky's job as well, being a case manager, she's your first contact.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got to deal with the nuts and bolts to sit down with the person that could be falling apart or scared to death. I mean, who knows the many reasons. Those positions, you can't replace them overnight. Obviously, Butch and I being the founders, you know, I feel that we have important positions as well, trying to keep us together, trying to work with each other. You know, most people that work within a paranormal group, I've always said, and you know, it's 3 years tops.
Yeah.
It's so much work. I mean, let's face it, Joe and Jen, we've never charged a penny for any investigation we've ever done, although we have thousands of dollars invested in equipment, thousands and thousands of hours invested, you know, in investigating, the hundreds of thousands of hours analyzing. Mm-hmm. It's tough to get a person that's interested in this position.
Yep.
And research is one of them. Hours and hours on the internet, hours and hours, you know, at your local libraries and historical societies. There's many avenues to research. It's a tough, tough position.
Yeah.
You know, me being close to 60, I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it.
Well, it's hard because, you know, like Joe and I work full time. We try to prep for the show. We have all, you know, we take care of our parents. Life is full. Life is full. And you have to fit in your passions and your groups and your time where you can. And it's not easy. You know, it gets very overwhelming sometimes.
And we mentioned that last time you were here that, you know, people think that doing an investigation is showing up, playing around a building for a couple hours, and then going home, and that's it. It's not. That's only 1/10 of the whole investigation.
Well, and Joe, look at it this way. It can get worse than that.
Yeah.
During the hundreds of hours of analyzing, you could experience something that Jen was experiencing, an attachment on top of it. So, I mean, let's look at this realistically. You're going home, you got 100 hours of analyzing to do. Tough work. You can't blink your eyes watching the video. It's just a tough job. And you're out of sorts. You're not feeling right yourself. Something may have come home with you. Listen, that changes the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, any position that you might take in a paranormal group, you might really want to consider the position. Mm-hmm. And you might want to take into consideration, is this really what you want to do?
Yeah.
Jen, I think hit the nail right on the head. If it's not your passion, if it's not part of whom you are, you're never going to work out any long term.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And, you know, it's nice that you mentioned passion because in the long run, you're doing something to help someone. Right. You may be having fun going in these old buildings, but the core thing about it is you're there to help someone.
I'm glad that you said that. We have some amazing things going on. Let's just say, Butch and I now, we've become so busy, we're trying to put things in different categories, if that makes any sense. Our investigations, which are sacred to us, that involve Michelle and Becky and the group, doing research and going into, you know, a family or a place or a person, somebody that needs help.
Yeah.
That's separate and independent of all these things that we're doing now. And as we were talking earlier, social media has become huge.
Yeah.
Maybe we need these things to get our name out there, to get our group out there, in order to help more people. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, some things are just fun.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had a ton of fun over the years. And Butch and I had the opportunity this past first of the year, 2017, Owens Community College had contacted me and wanted to know if we were interested in putting together a course on ghost hunting and what it takes to be a ghost hunter, a paranormal investigator. Butch and I had made the decision that we were going to do this, that it seemed like it would be fun. So we put together a curriculum and a class outline of what we thought would be important to share with beginning ghost hunters or people that might be interested in forming their own group down the road. And actually, we had a couple of our students have formed their own group. They're out and actively investigating. It's nice to see them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Devin and Dennis?
Yeah, that's who
we took them to the Gill House with us.
A good group of, and they're always commenting on my Facebook stuff.
Dennis came to our yard sale.
I see they also did the Gibbs Bridge, I believe, on that show that Chris Stillman had out on Haunted Toledo. So
how did they do there at the Gill House?
They did great.
They did really good.
They got some...
Well, they had some really good teachers.
Yeah.
I think so.
Anyway, so we did our first session in the spring. Unbelievably, Owens had contacted us again and wanted to know if we would do another semester after... It was our winter course. Mm-hmm. They had called us back and wanted to know if we were interested in doing a spring course. So we did it again, another Ghost Hunting 101. And I think it was pretty successful. You know, he touched on a lot of the basic things, the types of hauntings, the different types of equipment that's used to investigate. Becky had come in and she shared with our students. I had some great guest speakers, by the way. Becky come in and put a presentation together, you know, first contact from the first person you talk to the closing of a case and, you know, everything in between, all the contracts, all the copyright stuff, all the privacy issues. And more importantly, you know, the case history. She has talked to the clients and gathered up all that information and all these things that are, you know, pertinent to taking on an investigation. So that was a great part of the class. And then Michelle came in as a guest speaker as well and talked about house cleansings and blessings and darker energies and all that different
types. That was really interesting. Yeah, I learned a lot from that class.
I it's funny. I've been doing this all my life. Mm-hmm. And I can still sit back and listen to people like Becky and people like Michelle give their presentation. And Butch and I agreed. I mean, we don't want to make this a boys versus a girls thing in the group, but they are amazing.
Yes.
And Butch and I will agree, it seems like we're always learning something from them. I mean, we hate to admit that.
Don't put that out on the air.
We have to cut this out.
When they're listening to this.
And then Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo came in.
Yes.
Because during the class, I mean, in reality, what's everybody want to hear? They want to hear a great ghost story.
Yeah.
So Chris Tillman came in with Legends of Ohio and shared, I don't know, 10 or 12 different allegedly haunted locations. And, it was a great class. We finished up with a test. And listen, this course is for fun. It's for people that are interested in the paranormal, and you can learn from anybody. I just said I'm learning all the time. The class, I think, was a huge success. More importantly, Owens felt that way. So for fall this year, Butch and I have agreed to do another Ghost Hunting 101, followed immediately by a Ghost Hunting 102,
which
is going to be, obviously, it's going to be an extended version of the Ghost Hunting 101, but I got some really cool things, I think, that we're putting together. We're going to actually put some case scenarios together and let the students work on a case. They're
going
to come up with the type of haunting, and what they're dealing with, and the client's background, and what equipment they're going to use themselves, and what they're going to do, and if they cleared the place, if the person wants, an exorcism, so to speak, which I shouldn't joke about that, but an eviction of this ghost. So the students are going to be hands-on involved, and every class ends with a field trip. To a local haunted location. We've done, from our story in the attic, we did an investigation in an attic on the third floor where we captured a little girl singing to me. We also visited the Flying Rhino.
Yes, the coffee place.
I
don't remember.
Ginny?
Ginny, yes.
Ginny from the Flying Rhino downtown. She welcomed us down there, the whole class, on a moment's notice.
Yeah.
Opened up the doors, opened up the entire building to us. We had a blast.
That place was huge, too. I didn't realize it was that big.
And it was kind of eerie as well.
The basement was creepy.
It was kind of eerie. Listen, this class is a ton of fun. It's something that Owens has offered, and Butch and I have been lucky enough to be, the instructors chosen for it. So we're going to go forward with that. So that's going to be huge this fall, with all the other things that, we got going on. So maybe at the end of the show we can give out Owen's phone number.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and, we'll definitely give all the contact
information. That way, if you're interested in taking Ghost Hunting 101, this is the place to be this fall.
Yeah,
I definitely just want to tell everybody I highly recommend it. I took the class, even though we've done this paranormal show for a year I learned so much just from going there, and I enjoyed just being around like-minded people who have that passion to learn and to understand what the paranormal is all about, what the afterlife's all about, how you deal with it. You know, it was amazing, and I hope I'm invited to class 102.
Oh, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. You know, we always talk about how difficult investigations can be and how much work they are.
Yeah.
You know, how much time you put into them. I have so much respect for teachers, instructors.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to get up in front of people and talk, every week.
This is a fun course.
We hide behind our microphones. Yeah,
this is a fun course. And believe me. We tried to put a curriculum together and a class outline and try to make it as interesting as, you know, I possibly can, when Butch keeps telling me, you know, I'm a boring person by nature, you know, to try to, you know, entertain as well. It hasn't been easy, mm-hmm. but it's been a ton of fun. And I think the energy that's coming off the fun, I'm on a roller coaster with it. You know, I'm up till 3 or 4 in the morning putting, you know, classroom notes together. I don't even realize it's that late at night.
Yeah.
I have to go to bed. We're having a ton of fun with it. So
that's great. Yeah.
Ghost Hunting 101, followed immediately by Ghost Hunting 102 this fall at Owens Community College.
So, yeah, and we'll put all the information in the show notes too.
So yeah, and we'll post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And we got, if while we're speaking of things, we got some other things that's going on too.
Okay.
I want to wrap up the show with a great ghost story for everybody. And let everybody know that, a case that we're working on right now, but there's some other things going on. You know, here it is, the year 2017. We started this in 1999. We had both been investigators previously with other groups. There wasn't the equipment. There wasn't the social media format, the platform to work off of back then. We were just a couple of Joes, you know, hiding out in empty, vacant buildings in the middle of the night just because somebody said, I heard something. Things have changed. We start again this coming August 27th with Ghost Talk. It's a show that Butch and I had put together. It's a half an hour show on Facebook. Facebook Live is what you call it. And we could talk about a topic. We pick a topic, and it gives people an opportunity to I don't want to say phone in, but, you know, message
type in.
On comment. Facebook. Comment on. And that started to grow. So we took the summer off from doing it. It wasn't one of the most important things we were doing, but a lot of people have been asking, when's Ghost Talk coming back? So Ghost Talk's going to come back live on Facebook August 27th. It's every Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll start off with a couple times a month and just see where it goes. But we're going to have some great topics, I think, in August. Didn't we see maybe black-eyed children again?
There you go.
Yeah, that's so we're going to try to pick a topic. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. So Ghost Talk will be back with us through the fall. On top of all of our fall presentations, Butch and I, over the past couple of years, and this thing, you talk about things snowballing.
Yeah.
We began, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago where, you know, a library or something would ask us to come out on All Hallows Eve, you know?
Yeah.
And ask if we could do a presentation or talk about some of our experiences. And so I think what Butch and I's job was, we would set up, our computer and on the screen and with the projector, and we would just try to scare the hell out of everybody. We were having a great time, but I don't think we were offering any knowledge or anything of any value besides just Halloween stories. Well, after that first one, we got a call from another library. Hey, we talked to that library. They seem to have liked you. Would you do it again? Well, we did, 36 presentations last year?
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize you did that many. 27
days. We had 2-a-days. This thing has really snowballed. So
we've
already lined up a lot of the libraries, the Historical Society. So not only instructing the class at Owens on Thursdays, we're going to be doing a lot of fall presentations as well. Actually, this fall, with class and stuff, Butch and I will maybe separating a little bit to do some of our presentations separately.
Yeah.
You know, Becky and Butch will go one way, Michelle and I will go to the other. And Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo has offered to do some of them for me as well, representing the Toledo Ohio Ghost Center. So, you know, that's coming up. The fall presentation is going to keep us really busy.
Yeah, believe it or not, the nursing homes that asked us to come out, you ought to see them people, how interested they're in the paranormal.
Well, yeah, the last one, we did one, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And I won't give the name of the place away, but I walked in and I was out of sorts that day.
Okay.
Matter of fact, 5 minutes before the presentation, I told Butch, I said, I don't think I can do this. My head's not right. My energy's not flowing right.
Uh-huh.
Butch said, you know, drink your coffee, and I smoke, which I shouldn't say. He said, smoke your cigarette and get it out of the way and get in there and do the presentation. Well, I walked in the room, there was like 70 or 80 people sitting there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought there was 14. Butch, you said 14 to 20. Butch said, I never said anything.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, we went in, and the funny thing was, when it closed, they've already scheduled us again for November. Oh. After all, the Halloween season. So that's it's not great. Just the, you know, a Halloween thing anymore. It goes to show you it's all year long.
And yeah,
we just did this one just, I think, in June.
June.
Yeah, so it's not a seasonal thing anymore. So the fall presentations I'm looking forward to, they're coming in daily when we're booking them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be all over the area. I was hoping during these fall presentations this year, I was hoping that my book would be finished.
Yeah.
We're writing a book. It's hoped to be called Ghost Talk Paranormal Ohio. Mm-hmm. And it's got some amazing stories, and I have a handful of stories I have to finish. Thanks to my partner, Becky, who's like my ghostwriter. She changes everything and works. I write the story. I kind of tell it. And she works countless hours changing everything. Mm-hmm. You know, putting the commas into the capitalism. Why did you say this? Why didn't you leave that? That
you need a good editor.
Yeah, so
I highly recommend it. Right. I learned that lesson with my book.
Right, so she's an editor. And then this is a blessing. Her son, Jamie, from Washington, D.C., is also an editor and a writer for the Motley Fool there, so he's now jumped in.
Oh, that's cool.
What? He's Becky's son, so he has to take somewhat of an interest in me. I mean, I don't know if he feels like he's forced, but he's starting to look at the stories, and man, when he comes back, there's just a list of things that need to be changed, things that they shouldn't have done. But I am having a ton of fun with the fall presentations. I'm having a lot of fun writing our first book. I didn't realize, Jen, you have a couple of books out as well. Mm-hmm. Listen, you can explain to me how hard this is.
Oh my God,
I have never run across anything so difficult in my entire life. I'm a storyteller. I can do these presentations. Mm-hmm. I can instruct at Owens. I can talk to 70 or 80 people at one time and try to keep them somewhat entertained. But to sit upstairs in my ghost office late at night and try to retell this story of this investigation, it's tough.
It's
and then
tough,
to put it down on paper, for me, it's almost impossible. That's why you and I had talked earlier about some programs that I can just speak into.
Yeah.
They'll put it down in writing. I'll just give the paper to Becky. She can make the changes. And hey, listen, I'm an author. That's all I am. So anyways, hopefully a book will come out sometime later in this year. And obviously on social media, you hear all about the book. But our fall presentations, I was hoping to be able to do some book signings as well. I don't know. I'm just not done yet. So in this book, as we're wrapping up your show today, we have a pending case that's going to be in this book. And then one of our top five stories that's going to be in this book I'd like to talk about today.
Yeah, so, definitely.
The pending case, and I know this sounds woo-woo because we can't mention locations.
Yeah.
I'm working with Chris Tillman from Haunted Toledo and Butch. A couple of years ago, a murder happened.
Okay.
In a small little city in Northwest Ohio. This almost sounds goofy, doesn't it?
In a small town.
It involved several locations.
Okay.
Within that. So Haunted Toledo, Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunter Society, Butch and I, along with Becky and Michelle and Jake, have been doing investigations. We've investigated four or five locations now. And a couple of those locations we picked up what we feel is some paranormal activity. So there may be some truth to these legends. Interesting. I'm hoping that the first of the year, and Chris Tillman and I will do this together, I think, come out with this story. But I think it's going to be interesting in the paranormal world, you know, especially here in Ohio, especially here in Northwest Ohio. What an amazing opportunity Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunters has, along with Haunted Toledo. We're honored to take on this thing. But this is going to be a big case, and that's going to be in the book. And it involves several different entities, several different reasons why they're haunting these locations. It's also going to come out where some of the locations that are allegedly haunted, that, you know, there's books out about these places and a lot of folklore.
We've
walked away with no activity. So I don't know if I'm trying to debunk what they're saying. Good bottom line is, if we haven't captured anything what we feel is paranormal, then we're surely not going to say it's paranormal.
Exactly.
Right. Aside from personal things that happened to you, I mean, Are they of value? Yeah, but do they count in the book? No. Can you can you state that that was absolutely paranormal activity without a shadow of a doubt? Well, I don't think you feeling something up against your leg qualifies as documented evidence of the paranormal. So, interesting case. Involves several buildings. It's I think Tillman, Chris Tillman, definitely thinks it's going to be huge when we come out with it. I'm a little more low-key than he is. But it's exciting. It's a lot of work. So we just did another one of the investigations last week. We have another one set up for this week. So we're almost investigating on a weekly basis now.
Yeah,
just trying to come up with this entire story. And we should have that hopefully by the first of year.
Just from what you were telling us before we started recording the show, it's going to be one of those on the edge of your seat stories that it's like, this really happened? So everybody's going to be surprised and a little shocked when they read it.
Yeah, you know, I think so as well. That's what makes this thing so unique. I think that's the beauty of this whole entire thing is the amount of buildings that involves, the amount of people that it involves, the claims of paranormal activities going on.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to go into a location. You do the research on a location, interview the client, get as much knowledge of the location and the person that you're dealing with. Could you imagine doing this with a handful of buildings all at one time and several dozen people? And
yeah.
Here's the good news. It also could involve very, very well, a handful of several entities as well.
Yeah.
And how are we going to deal with them when they arise? So, yeah, this is going to be really cool.
All right.
So, all I hope the ghosts, that's in the book.
All the ghosts, get in line. We'll take care of you one at a time.
Take a number.
Yeah. Right.
So that's going to be in the book. And then, of course, we have what Butch and I consider one of our top cases. Actually, a couple of years ago, we did a case that involved, some of the best documentation that we captured to this day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in the book, but I don't know the name of the story yet.
Okay.
The book is going to be the Door Street Poltergeist is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghost of Gloucester is kind of huge, but we did an investigation over by the University of Toledo, and this is your ghost story. So everybody,
yes,
put your headphones on. Four young girls, college students, called us. Well, and called Becky, and Becky interviewed him. And she got off the phone, and I could see that she was troubled. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Becky was troubled, and she's pretty rock solid. Mm-hmm. She hears a lot of things from clients. Mm-hmm. Some things you don't want to hear.
She's got a really good
BS
meter.
She's on the front end, yeah. So she has to filter
right.
That information to make sure that it's legit.
Couldn't have said that any better. She got off the phone, and I could tell she was troubled. She said there's four young girls going to the University of Toledo. This home, I already said Windhurst, so I'll tell you it's on Windhurst. Thank God there's lots of homes on Windhurst. Some claims that were almost unbelievable.
Okay.
Becky thought that that we should go over and interview them, so... And I think you went to the interview as well. Some of the claims before we got to this home, and I have the approval from some family members that we could talk about them, but I'm not going to say their names.
Yeah.
Four young students, and let's look at this. Four young girls, just freshly moved away, graduated from high school, moved away from home, living on their own now. I mean, that's pretty scary all by itself, if you think about it. None of them were really handy with, hammers and screwdrivers and living away. Dad's not there
right.
For every time you need something. Or mom's not there for every time you need something. So pretty scary all by itself. Well, they moved into this home together. And shortly afterwards, they started hearing noises, some growling. At one point, remember, the claims were the attic door was closed. And, closed and locked and shaking.
Okay.
Violently shaking. They had called their father over. He had come over in the middle of the night a few times. The mom had come over a few times to see what was going on. I don't know if it was the father's idea.
Was it a multi-level home?
It was a two-story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The father actually took duct tape and taped the door shut. And the next morning, the door had been ripped completely.
Oh, my
goodness. The tape had been all the way off. And the thing, and they had been downstairs away from that door, and the door had been completely ripped open. The duct tape had been ripped away from the jamb. Well, and there was the cabinet door has been ripped off of the wall.
Wow.
You know, and everything else. It was terrifying to them girls.
Yeah, it was terrifying to me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, these are some of the claims that were going on in the house. As Butch said, the door being duct taped around the whole entire seal, being ripped off in the middle of the night. More importantly, the door was shaking as if somebody was trying to break out. Not yeah. mm-hmm. The door handle wiggling. And Butch said when he saw those kitchen cupboards that were ripped off the wall laying in the floor, I mean, I'm not sure what to think at that point. Besides, is there somebody doing this? Is there something from the living? I mean, what do we do as an investigative? I mean, this is not a voice from a child's room. This is not a shadowy figure that you see once in a while. I mean, this is some pretty dramatic things going on in this home. These girls were petrified.
Yeah.
They were beside themselves. None of them would be home alone. There always had to be two or three of them there together. And there was more claims than that. Shadowy figures in the bedrooms. Anyways, we obviously, Butch and I, along with Becky and Michelle, decided to take this case on. Becky did the interview. We got through the interview okay. We set up an investigation time. We went back to the home. And I don't know why, as afraid as these girls were, we set up tech out in the garage, away from the home. We wanted it attached. Mm-hmm. We didn't want any contamination of any kind with these claims that was going on. The girls wanted to stay on the location. They didn't want to be so much involved in the investigation because they were terrified.
Yeah.
So they want to hang out by tech, and we allowed it. Not all the time. It's tough enough when you're doing an investigation. When we took on this case, we began our investigation. Going into the home, we weren't quite sure what we were going to encounter. I mean, we were listening to all these claims of the paranormal, and some of it pretty dramatic. Butch, along with another member, decided to take the attic first, which the way I always do it.
Okay.
When there's somewhere like that, whatever that bad thing is in the attic that's shaking the doors, that's just the place for Butch.
Yeah.
So we were.
Gets all the fun. Gets to have all the fun.
Right. Session one, we were going to put Butch and the other member up in the attic, and Becky and I decided to take the cellar for the first session. Maybe Butch can say it better. When you go into an investigation, you have your opening prayers, as we spoke of mm-hmm. earlier. You've already have it laid out, what your sessions are going to be, where the cameras are, where all the recorders are, where all the equipment's going to be placed before the investigation begins. That way, when you re-enter the location, you're ready to go for session one without too much contamination. Once you get into the room or the location you're going to do, like Butch was going to take the attic this night, once he gets up to the attic, Butch will clearly say, my name is Butch Leon. I'm in Windhurst Street. This is what time it is, and this is mm-hmm. the beginning of session one, and I'm in the attic. This place was a little bit different. I'm sure you guys do an investigation. You ever been to a haunted location or supposed haunted location, and they know you're coming?
Oh, yeah.
They're waiting for you. They can't wait for you to get there.
I haven't experienced that yet.
We haven't experienced that often. This place was different. Maybe the claims from the girls of the paranormal had a measure of truth to it. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, as Butch is on his way up to the attic, why don't you tell us what happened?
A lot of times over the years, I found out, I'll turn my recorder on before I say, this is session one, this is so-and-so, mm-hmm. and we're getting ready to start our investigation. A lot of times I'll turn my recorder on because you never know what you might get. And this is what happened. As I was walking up the stairs, this thing told me to hurry.
Oh my!
And Joe, that EVP was clearly, I think, a Class A.
Okay. Well, let's play it.
Is it
all right to play it?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is an EVP of this stairway. If you listen close, you'll hear it say hurry. Do you hear that? Let's play it again.
Then afterwards, after it told me to hurry,
mm-hmm.
it got disgusted as I kept walking up the stairs. You could hear it get really disgusted. Then it had that little scream at me or whatever, and then you could hear it had like a sigh.
Really? Now, do we have that EVP here? It says Scream. Yes. Okay, well, let me play that for him also. And if you listen close, you hear it. You actually hear a scream?
See what we can find up here.
Let's play it again. Yeah, you can definitely hear it just going.
Yeah, it's also weird.
There's something there. You know, this case was just a little bit different.
Okay.
As I said earlier, I think this entity might have been waiting for us.
Yeah.
And obviously couldn't wait for Butch to get up in the attic. Becky and I did session one down in the cellar, and it was kind of quiet.
Okay.
We did this, 45 minutes, I think, and then we ended up our first session. We went into session two, and there was little things going on throughout the house, and everybody was having personal, you know, experiences. Here's some other, you know, can you call this paranormal? I'm not sure. But as I was analyzing, going through the audio sessions on Butch's recorder, at one time, Butch and Becky were in the bedroom doing a session two.
Okay.
And Butch is a little bit angry. And says, why is Harold or anybody else outside, why would they be burping and why would they be laughing and making noise? And they kind of discounted what they had heard and continued with their session. Little did they know at that time that I was out in the garage at Tech.
Okay.
And this garage is 30 feet from the home. There was so much so in this. There was a burp also. Now some things are funny, some things aren't.
Yeah.
Come on, if you capture a burp, it's Becky and Butch in the bedroom doing an EVP such. The thing burps and then giggles, and then you could hear Butch. And I didn't bring that EVP,
okay.
But you could hear Butch scolding me. Like, why would Harold be doing this? He lost his mind. Well, you know, I may have lost my mind, but I don't contaminate evidence like that.
Right. So
I brought that back to his attention after the fact. Which I thought was kind of cool and kind of funny. So, you know, what that doesn't match up with what the clients are saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cupboard doors being ripped off, the walls.
Yeah.
The attic doors shaking uncontrollably and busting open, the growling, the feeling the presence in the bedrooms. There's something else here. I mean, that's what that tells me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing was mocking me and, you know, me being there.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the other thing. This was, in hindsight, after this whole thing's over, it was an intelligent haunting. It was following our investigators, you know, around the home.
Yeah.
Well aware of who we were, mm-hmm. well aware of what we were doing, and well aware of the people that lived there. We continued on with a couple of more sessions. We were there 3 or 4 hours doing it, and we ended up the evening, which we always do. And you can call it dead time. You can call it whatever, quiet time or communication time. There's many names for it. But at the end of an investigation, I like to sit all of our investigators down, including our cameramen and everybody who was at that location during the investigation, in kind of like an open floor, open mic rap session with the entities. After the fact, looking back at the video, the DVR, night vision video of Becky up in the attic, we had captured something, look into the camera, just a glimpse of something, but something was there.
Okay.
And just her and another investigator were up there. At that time, I wasn't sure what it was. She had come down then for dead time. We had the entire working staff, what I would call it, down in the family room or living room to start our final session.
Yeah.
Not any different than what happened to Butch going up into the attic. This entity was on top of it. He was ready for it.
Yeah.
On this next EVP, which I would say is a strong B, it's a little quieter, it's a little more of like a whisper.
Okay.
But you can clearly hear this entity that we captured on video from the attic,
yeah,
where the claims from the girls that there was something up there that wanted out, said, Becky, we're here in the attic. You can't come in. And then turns around and scolds the four students. You stupid students.
Well, let me play the audio of that. They're going to have to listen close. I'll turn it up a little bit in the mix, but take a listen to this and see if you guys can hear it. All right, let me play that one more time. Listen close. It's in the background. It's kind of quiet, but you can definitely hear something.
Yeah.
that just blow your mind.
Yeah, especially with the headphones on, you can really
hear. Yeah.
Yeah, the neat thing about this, and whenever I post EVPs on our website, I always put on there beforehand, you know, grab some headphones because it makes the experience so much nicer. This is one of those investigations.
Yeah.
You know, where Butch got the hurry shortly after a sigh of disgust. Becky, we're in the attic. You can't come in. It scolded the students for calling us in.
Yeah.
You stupid students. Like, you don't know what you're doing. And immediately right after that, and you're not going to see this, obviously, because this is radio.
Yeah.
But we caught a full-bodied apparition looking into the camera. And
amazing.
Yeah, we sent out for our professionals to look at it, and everybody agrees that it's something. It's an apparition. There was somebody in that home that was following our investigators around, that was talking to Butch, that was talking to Becky. This story is going to be in the book.
Okay.
You know, some stories have great endings. Some stories don't have such great endings. This particular case is one that kind of troubles me a little bit.
Okay.
We did all we could do. Shortly right after that, Michelle came in and did a couple of house cleansings and blessings and evictions and really worked this hard. And I, of course, had them all under video documentation.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure we handled this case involving young girls correctly. And, of course, at this time now her parents are watching over them, so they're watching us closely. So we put a lot of work and effort into this. Unfortunately, soon afterwards, something reawoke that house.
Okay.
Now, Michelle tends to think that maybe they were using Ouija boards the whole time, and maybe were doing seances. But more importantly, down in the cellar, they had a little wet bar set up where you could see college kids were partying a little bit. It's not uncommon. The thing was, did some of those girls' friends have interest in the paranormal? You know, were they coming to the parties? Were they speaking to these entities? Did they bring, you know, we feel as though that could have very well possibly happened.
Yeah.
We feel that we had the house cleansed and cleaned at the time. Shortly afterwards, the house woke back up again. The girls didn't have any energy left to fight this thing again and to go through and witness all the things they did. All four girls' parents unanimously had them all move out.
Yeah.
So it was one of those cases where, you know, do you gain control back of your home? And, you know, that it can happen. You are the homeowner, not the entity, not this particular case. It was too big for them. And to this day, it's some of the best evidence that Togs has ever walked away from one individual investigation. Multiple things happened. The home still sits there today. I don't know who lives there anymore.
Okay.
But this story is a great story. And obviously, it'll be in the book in a lot more detail. We'll share some of the other things that went on in the house in the upcoming book this year.
Okay.
So,
that's great.
That's one of our ghost stories for everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
And the EVPs are some of the clearest. And one of the amazing things is it's not just one word, it's an actual sentence.
Yeah.
The Becky we're here in the attic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Becky we're here in the attic is you know, it's not a loud EVP, it's not a class A, but it is a unique EVP.
I would almost say it's class A just because it's a clear sentence.
Yeah, he was an intelligent haunting for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean you know, he mentioned Becky, but he was watching her. You know, obviously very closely and mocking her as well.
Do you think it was tied to the people or to the house?
You know,
I mean, just your personal opinion.
You know, I think that's a great question. I think and Becky, me and Michelle and Butch may not agree. I think it was attached more to the people. But then again, I don't think we're ever going to know.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way to tell now is if to go back to the home. And even then, you're not going to be able to tell. If they've invited something to the home, doesn't matter if they moved or not.
Yeah.
That house could still very much be alive.
Yeah.
And now you're going to say it's attached to the home when it really wasn't. So it's a great question. Yeah. I don't know if there's a definitive answer for it. I think the girls or their friends were capable of bringing this thing back.
And that's what I was thinking, too, when you mentioned about, you know, partying and all that, is they tell the stories.
Yeah.
To their friends, and their friends, you know, hey, let's do this.
I think it's harmless, you know, like, yeah, let's try this. Mm-hmm. Listen,
let's wake this up again.
Yeah. You don't know what, I mean, something may or may not happen. You just don't know. It's just, you can't dabble and take it lightly because it can get into a serious situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Joey.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a ton of fun.
We love having you guys in the studio. It's always fun and exciting, and you guys have the best stories. And I always learn something, and I'm coming to the class.
Yeah.
So
we would love to have you as a guest to our class this year.
I'm going to be a student.
And I need everybody out there to send me the winning lotto numbers so that I can quit my night job.
Yeah, and me come too. To the classes. Yeah,
it's going to have to be Powerball because somebody won last night.
Yeah. Oh, and I was going to play and I didn't. Dang it.
I got paranormal news for everybody. I think it was me.
Ah. Well, it was somebody in Illinois.
Yay, yep. K2s for everybody.
Anyways, Joe and Jen, thank you very much for having Butch and I on your program.
Yeah, you guys are welcome.
Anytime.
And I'd like to just take a second, you know, of all the platforms, you know, that are being offered to the Ohio Ghost Hunters, social media and stuff, what a pleasure it is to be able to sit down and spend the morning with you guys. Yeah. And Jen brings out some Timbits donuts.
just for you.
And my grandson's here today. And obviously he's behaving. he's making me take him out to the Gibbs Bridge today. I don't know if his mom and dad allow me to do that. But
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell him. Sorry. This won't come out until next week.
Anyways, thanks for having us. Yeah. What a pleasure. I'd love to do
Thank
this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime.
Tell everybody, all our listeners, if they need to get a hold of you, if they are having any issues or problems or want you to investigate or want to come to one of your lectures or your classes, how would they get a hold of you?
That's a great question, and we almost forgot about that. Obviously, Facebook, social media is great. So we have an email address, www.togsteam@gmail.com. That wouldn't be, it wouldn't be www. It would just be togsteam@gmail.com. Yeah. We also have a ghost office set up now where we take calls 24/7, 734-224-0003.
Okay.
It's not always manned, so if you get
leave a message,
and Becky will give you a shout back. You know what else we did this year?
What's that?
This is me you're talking to, the old school guy. We have Twitter now. We have Instagram.
Oh, wow.
I know we're following each other on Twitter now. No, it's so exciting.
I don't even have Twitter.
You know, I don't even know how to do it. I tried to get on Twitter yesterday to send something. You know, I think I broke my phone. I'm lost somewhere out there.
I'm tweeting you right now.
I have no idea what I'm doing. So, but, you know, Facebook is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, this whole thing began with a website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we got our website, 20 years ago, we were like big cheese, you know?
Yeah.
You know, www.togs.org. We had to be an org because we wanted to be an organization.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people visit websites anymore. I'm not sure.
I don't know. We still
have amazing stories on there and a lot of things going on. So we're constantly updating the website. Facebook is a great format to visit us on. And obviously, if you got something going on, listen, the classes at Owens, all the presentations going on, the new book. Listen, that's a lot of fun things that Butch and I is doing. On a serious
ghost talk.
Ghost talk on Sunday nights. If you need help from Butch and I or any member of our group, reach out to us, okay? You can private message us. You can call the ghost office, right?
Yeah.
And get a hold of us. There's no charge for anything we do when it comes to an investigation. All the fun things going on. We started this thing 18 years ago with a promise to help people. That was our model. That was what we said. That's what we stated. It's why we were here. 18 years later, I think we're still doing the same thing.
Yeah, sitting in front of a Zamboni.
We were at a hockey rink talking about these things. Anyways, if you need some help, there's no charge, and we'll do the very best we can. Once again, Joe, Jen, thanks for having us on the show.
I
hope that we can do this again. I want to come back at maybe first of the year, and we could talk about how successful the class was and how fun the presentation was, and maybe we can bring back a couple of really scary stories.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, you're welcome anytime.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. And like we always say, please, please, please get up there wherever you get your podcast from and leave us a positive rating and review.
And check us out on Twitter, 222 Paranormal. That is new. We just signed up and have that Twitter account now. So I'll manage that, Joe. Joe's a little tech unsavvy.
Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Take care.